The following hour is brought to you by MidasResources.com. Call Midas today to protect your future at 1-800-686-2237.
Welcome back to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio. And now, here's Gene Steinberg.
Our final four segments of the Paracast with James Carrion, author of Rosetta Deception. So, James, what was Roswell? The first, the second, or the third possibility that it was some kind of test aircraft or something?
I don't think it was a test aircraft at all. I think it was part of a further featured separate deception operation that happened in 1947, related to the first that happened in 1946. If you read my book, you'll find a very interesting story about an Austrian scientist by the name of Eugene Sanger. And what this gentleman did is he was working on behalf of the Germans during the war. He had developed this concept for what he called the America Bomber. And what this craft was supposed to do was to launch off a sled track that was a couple miles in length. It would basically zoom into the atmosphere, and then when it came down, back down on the ballistic reentry, it would bounce off the atmosphere again and have a further forward motion, and it could have this, keep having this bounce effect until it reached its destination, which he envisioned as being the United States, where he was going to drop basically what was a dirty bomb and on American cities. This was something that was very much believed to be possible at the time, even though we now know that it probably wouldn't have worked. But not only the Germans were interested in his research, but the Russians were very much interested as well. So they actually, after the war, got some of his secret reports. Stalin himself was so enamored of this concept, because remember, he didn't have the bomb at the time. He didn't have an atomic capability. So if he had the ability to bomb American cities with this America bomber, then that was going to be his top priority. So he convened a conference in May of 1947. It just so turns out that, you know, June of 1947, we have all of a sudden this UFO. Remember, back then it wasn't a UFO. It was a flying saucer, because it was described as skipping over like a stone on water, which is exactly how the American bomber was described as doing on the atmosphere. So it's just, to me, too convenient that we have, Stalin super interested in this new futuristic weapon that skipped across the atmosphere like a stone skips across water, and all of a sudden we have stories of a flying saucer that exhibits similar behavior. So I think there's the tie-in to the deception, where we are trying to convince the Russians, hey, what you want, we have. And not only do we have it, we're experimenting with it. And that led, for example, I think, to Roswell, led to Maury Island. It was all surrounding trying to convince the Russians we had something they did not.
Well, that kind of leads us to one of our listener questions. This one comes from Fedora Chronicles, who posted his question at forum.theparacast.com. Since we're talking about Roswell, he asked, tell us about your thoughts on Roswell. I'm on the fence because I believe the UFO crash could have been a cover-up of a real crash of a flying wedge or wing that the military was testing that was based off technology taken from Germany during Operation Paperclip. Or it was really an alien spacecraft. He wants to know, first of all, which theory do you subscribe to? And I think we kind of know where you're going to go with it. But what he wants to know is, do you think that there's a possibility that some sort of secret technology got out of control or out of hand, and then they had to cover that up?
I don't believe that at all. And I'll tell you why I think that theory, to me, is just complete rubbish. Let's take, for example, what happened. All right, so we have this alleged crash of this UFO outside of Roswell, New Mexico. And who blabs to the press? It's the 509th Bomb Group that puts out a press release. That, on its face, is the most ludicrous thing I have ever heard in my life. Because who is the 509th Group? They're the same folks that dropped the bombs on Japan. They're the same folks that in 1946 dropped the bomb over Bikini Atoll. These are the folks that were of the highest caliber, the most intelligent, the folks that had to be highly trusted because we're dealing with, you know, the Manhattan Project and all this atomic weaponry. And they're the folks that are so well indoctrinated in keeping things secret. It makes no sense that they're going to put out a press release if they uncover any technology. That by itself is what actually, I think, more than anything, led me on this journey to try to understand what surrounded Roswell and Kenneth Arnold and Maury Island. Because as a person who's been in the military, who's had a top secret clearance, you keep your mouth shut. You don't go out there and put out a press release if something happened to crash that was of important national security use. You know, you simply don't do that.
I have another question here. This one comes from Bonaventure, who's been a longtime poster at forum.theparacast.com. He doesn't come out and ask very many questions, but he came out for you, James. And he wants to know if you think the UFO mystery is largely the creation of the military and the security agencies. Absent deliberate deception, does any evidence remain that points to an extraterrestrial visitation?
Well, I can tell you that my belief is that what the activity surrounded 1946 to 1947 was, from my point of view, a strategic deception operation, so definitely involving military intelligence agencies. But then, that's a very interesting question because this is where we get into the bucket argument. What I call the bucket argument is that people that are believers or that truly believe in UFOs and extraterrestrial visitation, they want to have one bucket of evidence. Everything gets thrown into this bucket, right? From the building of the pyramids to the Foo Fighters to ghost rockets to Roswell to you name it, it all goes into one large bucket. And if you try to take anything out of that bucket, well, no, you can't, because all the other stuff in the bucket means it's extraterrestrial or there's proof there. And I think that is not the way to approach the subject at all. I think you have to compartmentalize your research. I think you have to focus on your research into certain discrete cases and discrete time frames. And really, you can't just pile up the evidence and say it all makes sense altogether. It simply doesn't. Because I'll be honest and tell you that I believe that there's life out there in the universe. I think the possibility of life not being out there is absolutely nil. Statistically, there is life out there on other planets. The question is, have they arrived here, either today in the near past or in the very, distant past? It's very plausible that we had alien visitation way back whenever. Or it could be very plausible we have alien visitation today. So I'm not saying that that's not a possibility. I'm not saying that at all. What I am advocating is that the early days of UFOs, the modern-day UFO era, 1946, 1947, that time frame, I don't believe, had anything to do with extraterrestrial visitation.
We have another question from Burnt State, who's one of our very active posters at forum.theparacast.com. And first of all, he compliments you on your website and all the great newspaper articles that you've dug up that report on the whole ghost rocket phenomenon. But he's very interested to know if you've made contact with UFO Sweden to get access to their many reports and government files pertaining to witness accounts of structured craft and rockets landing in lakes, crashing without debris. And he says that this type of phenomenon continues to this day. What do you think of their findings, and are you aware of their upcoming documentary on the ghost rocket phenomena?
I did come across their website and their discussion of his upcoming documentary, and I have not looked at their archives. In fact, I address it in my book. It's one of the areas I would really like to dig more into. It's been sort of an obstacle based on where the archives are at and the fact that I know absolutely zero Swedish, so there had to be some sort of translator involved. But what I did find out that I think was very helpful in my research was there was, in 1946, one of the ghost rocket sightings that made the newspapers all over the world had to do with the alleged collision of a ghost rocket with a military plane, a Swedish military plane, where three Swedish flyers died. Now, this made the newspapers everywhere, and a lot of ufologists point to it and say, oh, it was a real phenomenon. Look what happened. There was this collision. But then what the Swedish researchers from the Swedish UFO organization dug up in government archives is that that crash of that plane had nothing to do with the ghost rockets. It was made up. So part and parcel of this deception I'm talking about. So that gave me some confirmation of that time period. I don't know what goes on today in Sweden, and I really can't speculate. But I do know that back during that time frame, there's a lot of eyewitness testimony. There's a lot of alleged testimony around Roswell. And again, this goes back to deception. When you're dealing with deception, right, the fact that you're deceiving the public means that the public's going to report what they see. They're going to be honest about it. That doesn't mean the deception did not occur. It just simply means they're not in on the deception.
It's the Rosetta Deception, the name of the book. The guest is James Carrion with Gene and Chris. You're in
the Paracast.
Neighbors, are you tired of dealing with a slow web hosting provider? Well, check out A2 Hosting and their screaming fast Swift server platform. They even have SSDs that load pages 300% faster than the competition. Ready to give your site a speed boost? Well, tell you what, neighbors, head on over to a2hosting.com. That's A2, that's number 2, a2hosting.com. Check out their Prime hosting account. And get this, neighbors, they're even giving you an exclusive 25% off discount for all our listeners. 25%. And remember, their Guru Crew support team is standing by 24/7, 365 days a year to answer any of your questions. Now, to get the discount, use the coupon code GENE when you check out.
On the average, Americans work between 45 to 50 years, hoping to build up enough wealth to retire and live out their golden years. Unfortunately, with taxation, the rising cost of food, energy, housing, and medical, many retirees are forced to live below the poverty line. Is this a flaw-free enterprise, or is our monetary unit we call the Federal Reserve Note forcing us into perpetual debt, ensuring inflation and higher taxes? These questions and more can be answered by reading G. Edward Griffin's book, The Creature from Jekyll Island. Congressman Ron Paul states, "It's what every American needs to know about central bank power. A gripping adventure into the secret world of international banking cartel." Hi, this is Ted Anderson. I will give a silver dollar from the early 1900s to anyone who purchases this book. Call 1-800-686-2237 and order a copy today. It's critical that the public be made aware of the system. Call and order your copy today at 1-800-686-2237. That's 1-800-686-2237.
Question. Could too many GMO foods and toxins be overloading your digestive and immune systems? Answer, yes. If you're searching for a powerful detox that's gentle enough to use every day, use Pro-EM1 from Terraganics. Pro-EM1 is a powerful liquid probiotic that uses good bacteria to suppress pathogens and gently eliminate toxins from your body. A healthy digestive system will cleanse and remove toxins, support weight loss, improve absorption of food nutrients, and aid in controlling yeast and other infections. Pro-EM1 is made with only non-GMO and certified organic ingredients, has no preservatives, and is dairy, soy, wheat, and gluten-free. Pro-EM1 is the key to your digestive health. Order Pro-EM1 Daily Probiotic Cleanse at Terraganics.com, spelled TerraGanix.com, or call toll-free 866-369-3678. That's 866-369-3678. Also available through Amazon Prime. Pro-EM1 from Terraganics. Life's getting better.
If you need to say happy birthday, happy anniversary, thank you, or simply, I'm thinking of you, ProFlowers.com is the key. ProFlowers has stunning bouquets, like the best-selling 100 blooms for $19.99. Plus, ProFlowers will include a glass vase for free. Sending someone a wonderful surprise of beautiful flowers sent fresh from the field is easy. Choose the bouquet you like, pick the delivery date, and each order is 100% guaranteed. Plus, all bouquets from ProFlowers are guaranteed to last at least 7 full days. Beautiful, fragrant flowers, picked fresh and sent to your loved one for lasting enjoyment. To get this incredible savings and send someone 100 gorgeous blooms with a free vase for $19.99, go to ProFlowers.com, click the blue microphone in the top right corner, and enter code PLOW. That's ProFlowers.com. Click the mic and enter code PLOW.
We'd like to hear from you. If you have a comment or question about the Paracast, send it to news@theparacast.com. That's news@theparacast.com. And don't forget to visit our famous Paracast community forums at forum.theparacast.com.
Now, just parenthetically, and there's a lot of things to talk about here, James, carry on. I mentioned some of the early abduction cases as possibly being related to tests and mind control or drugs. I mentioned specifically, and we've talked about it before, Barney and Betty Hill. But what about all those other abductions?
You know, it's a real good question, because it's, if I have to say, if anything really struck me as a mystery when I was head of MUFON, it really had to do with the whole abduction phenomena for a couple of reasons. One, there's a lot of evidence, you know, from the abduction transcription project that MUFON ran, where we basically partnered up with some hypnotherapists and some counselors so that we could record transcripts of these alleged abductees while they were being hypnotized, and understand that there was some commonality in their stories. But I had some very close friends that who also claimed to have been abducted, and they sounded very credible, and they sounded very sincere. So the experience itself seems to be based in sincerity. Where it originates, that I'm not sure. I mean, you mentioned mind control. You mentioned possible experiments. We know the CIA was very much involved in that type of experimentation. Some folks believe it to be of a religious nature. You know, there are a lot of folks that think it's, if you believe in angels and demons, that it's a demonic activity. So there are a lot of different explanations for it. I don't have an explanation for it. I don't even have a terrestrial explanation for it, just because I have done no research into that area. But I do know that it's very intriguing.
Chris.
You know, reading the Rosetta Deception and looking at the very careful way that deception operations were conceived and enacted, if you fast forward, you know, 60 years to a particular character that you had a bit of dealings with fairly recently, Robert Bigelow from Bigelow Aerospace and the Skinwalker Ranch scenario, and of course the Star program, or fiasco, I think might be a better term for it. Do you think that the intelligence operations have become so fine-tuned that they can literally run roughshod over any sense of an ET involvement, or, you know, use that ET involvement scenario as a cover for very real deceptive practices by the military? All of Skinwalker Ranch, for instance.
Absolutely. I think that the large amount of mythology that surrounds Area 51, for example, a lot of that, I think, was originated in the military as an operation to just cover up what was really happening in Area 51, which was very mundane in nature. So I think that the intelligence the whole intelligence establishment uses the phenomena, uses the mythology, uses the subject to cover up any number of mundane operations. You know, I found that my involvement with Robert Bigelow and the Skinwalker Ranch, the fact that I basically paid my own way to go there and was refused entry on the ranch, that lack of transparency tells me that there's something else going on. I'm sorry, this whole subject is so muddied already. What you don't need is more cover-up, more deception, more obfuscation. And when I started seeing that in the whole MUFON-BAS relationship, that's when I started to question, what's really behind all of that. And I voiced my opinions to the board and all of history after that, because, they went behind my back and renegotiated that contract. So the bottom line being that I think this is very well known. If you think you can dance with these intelligence agencies and they don't want you to dance with them, you're never going to dance. The bottom line is there will be a way where you'll end on up on the outside of that. So I think there is a very, very interesting dance happening between ufology and the intelligence organizations that have more to do with what goals of the intelligence agencies are than a cover-up of extraterrestrial visitation.
So what about MUFON in general? Do you think that an organization is a bunch of sincere civilians trying to find out what's going on, or something that's advancing the disinformation?
I don't think you can really label it that easily. I think there are folks that genuinely have in the organization that have a genuine interest in knowing the truth. I think there are folks in the organization that are very much true believers, and they discard a lot of evidence presented to them. I think I am disillusioned and very much have fallen out of favor of MUFON just from the point of view of they've lost their way. Their motto is the scientific investigation of UFOs, and you would be hard-pressed to find anything that resembles science in that organization. I think that's reflected in this recent these shows that they're doing on Discovery Channel. You know, it's almost embarrassing to watch, to see MUFON actually lower themselves to repeating mythology and repeating folklore and repeating outrageous allegations and not sticking to what they should be sticking to, which is pure science.
I was just going to ask you what you thought of the show Hangar One and using very, very tenuous sort of pop culture versions of events, like, for instance, the whole story of Nixon taking Jackie Gleason down to Florida to show him alien bodies. Well, for the young person that wants to get involved in ufology, really has, altruistic, motivations to get to the bottom of this whole thing. You know, kind of the way I was early on in my life when I looked at these subjects. I mean, what do you tell someone like that? How can the average person who's getting involved in this for the first time, how can they separate signal from noise? How can they differentiate between deception and what are obviously real events, I think? I think that we're dealing with real events on some level. However, I agree with you. There's probably a good chance the majority of events that people are experiencing have a very prosaic and mundane explanation. What would you tell a young person getting involved in this morass of a field as a neophyte?
Well, I would say, based on my years of exposure, is don't focus on the signal. Focus on the noise. There's a lot to be learned from the noise. It's almost, I've said this quite a few times, the absence of evidence is as telling as the presence of evidence. So if you go into this field with an open mind, you put aside your beliefs, you really look to see why there's so much noise surrounding this field. Pay attention to the noise. Pay attention to the characters that are in the field. Make sure that you check their sources. Make sure you check every single fact. You better be a fact checker, because if you're not a fact checker, you're going to be at the recipient end of disinformation, hoaxes, and just being led down the primrose path that a lot of ufologists find themselves. So the bottom line is, go out there with a sincere desire to know truth and to learn truth, no matter how hurtful that truth may be. Even if it hurts your own beliefs, look for that truth.
Well, the obvious question I think many of our listeners would want Gene or myself to ask you is, are there any cases that are truly unknown that you feel could indicate some sort of presence that is beyond the capabilities of our own military intelligence operative deception, this sort of scenario that we've been talking about? What are your favorite truly high strange cases?
You'll answer that in the next segment, I hope. James Carrion joins us with Gene and Chris. You're in
the Paracast.
GCN, proudly sponsored by UnseenNow.com. Find out how to stop Big Brother in his tracks at UnseenNow.com. This is GCN.
Graphic Converter is the image manipulation tool for the rest of us. It does not use any database. You get full control of all your files. Want to view the images of a folder? Drag it into Graphic Converter and a powerful browser opens up to show your image files. You could use it for slideshows. You could use it to import images from digital cameras or from scanners. Need to do some image editing? You can do that too in Graphic Converter. Also print catalogs. Convert from so many formats I can't even list them. Download now to see if Graphic Converter is good for you, like 1.5 million other users. Guess what? You could save money when you buy Graphic Converter. Use the coupon code NIGHTOWL. Use the coupon code NIGHTOWL to get a special price for Graphic Converter. Go to LemkeSoft.com. That's LemkeSoft.com. LemkeSoft.com. LemkeSoft.com.
Ouch! My back is out again!
Hi, Dr. Ortman with Wellspring Spinal Care. If you're experiencing neck, mid, or lower back pain, this information is for you. One of the complaints that I hear is patients receive their typical adjustment, only having to repeat them as the pain returns. Putting the bones back in place is only half of the battle. At Wellspring Spinal Care, we have the entire solution. We use the NUCA approach, utilizing three-dimensional x-rays and gentle touch technology to deliver specific correction. We then design a custom nutritional supplement program which provides essential nutrients targeting the areas of concern. With a NUCA approach and proper nutrition, you'll be on your way to a faster and more permanent recovery. To get you on the road to wellness, visit drortman.com. That's drortman.com. Or call us today, 952-303-9124. That's 952-303-9124. Wellspring Spinal Care. Chiropractic done right.
Got a simple question for you. Can you sell?
Yes?
Okay. Can you sell the intangible? If yes, and you'd like to work 9 to 5, Monday through Friday, with no overtime, no weekends, if you're passionate about not closing sales, but about opening relationships, if you truly have a desire to serve global clients who need your advertising expertise, and you're local to the Twin Cities and Burnsville, are hardworking, self-driven, with experience in sales, marketing, or advertising, are personable, and a whiz on the phone, GCN wants to talk with you right now. GCN, the Genesis Communications Network, is one of the largest independent talk radio networks in the world, and we're hiring right now. We offer benefits and an excellent commission structure. Experience preferred, but we'll train the right person. Is that you? Submit your resume today to advertise at GCNlive.com. Again, that's advertise at GCNlive.com. Come work with the Genesis Communications Network, an equal opportunity employer.
Moms of America, stand up and stop taking abuse from your kids. I pledge never to let my kid disrespect me ever again. I pledge to stop letting my daughter walk all over me.
I pledge to stop living in fear of my son's anger.
I pledge never to feel like a bad parent ever again. Because I'm not.
I pledge to stop letting my child's behavior control my home.
I pledge to be a mom with kids who listen. A total transformation mom.
I'm Janet Lehman, co-creator of the Total Transformation Program. We created the Total Transformation to help parents with difficult child behavior. Now, I'm giving it away free. All you need to do is get the program and let us know how it works for you. We'll let you keep it for free.
Call 1-800-256-7795. That's 1-800-256-7795. Call now. Call 1-800-256-7795. That's 1-800-256-7795.
Hi, this is Nick Pope. You're listening to the Paracast.
The Paracast with Gene and Chris talking to James Carrion. So, high strange cases, James. Do you know of some you want to talk about?
Well, I'll have to say that I can't point to one that's in the historical literature because I haven't personally investigated it. But of the ones I've personally investigated, again, I have to go back to the abduction cases because there was one particular abduction case that I have in mind where, to me, it was very compelling witness testimony. These were folks that had no interest in notoriety, no interest in it being made public, and the way they described the events and the high strangeness of the events just was, to me, extremely compelling. So again, I'm going back to the abduction cases, and to me, these are the ones that probably are the most intriguing to me. But as far as structured craft, UFO crashes, major sighting events, there's nothing really that strikes me as high strangeness because they're historical in nature, number one. And the ones that I personally investigate, well, the MUFON, it simply didn't pan out.
Okay, you say didn't pan out. You went through these cases that seemed the most compelling and everyone had a conventional explanation, or did you actually find evidence that maybe there was some kind of military disinformation going on?
It mostly had to do with deception. Yeah, there was some level of deception. Again, this is unknown. I call it unknown deception because I don't know if these folks that perpetrated it had a personal reason for doing it. You know, they just wanted to go out there and perpetrate a hoax. If there was a money aspect to it, or there may be an intelligence agency aspect to it. All I know was human involvement. and nothing highly strange about it.
The problem is here, of course, is most of the sightings never really get investigated. You see a light in the sky, or somebody takes a picture of lights, and that's it. That's the beginning and end of it. You never go beyond that, so you never know.
Well, yeah, I would agree with that, but I'll have to say something that, you know, I think that a lot of folks in ufology may not like to hear, and that is, you know, I think the bottom line is there are folks that are in the field that call themselves ufologists, call themselves researchers, investigative journalists, whatever they want to call themselves. It doesn't really matter. But when their modus operandi is to perpetuate the mystery instead of solving it, we have a big issue. We have a big problem, because the mystery will never get resolved as long as these people are out there hawking their latest theories or the latest controversy for controversy's sake, or their latest witness or their latest, you know, lead investigation. Whatever you want to call it, doesn't really matter. But if you don't have a sincere interest in truth, you're simply interested in making the rounds of the UFO talk circuit and have your group
mystery mongering.
Exactly. You're part of the problem, not part of the solution.
Well, do you have a short list for us? Any particular individuals that you'd like to single out?
Yes, my short list is just pick any UFO conference out there and grab the speakers that are there, and that's my short list.
Oh my God, no! I go out there and speak. Uh oh, that's a broad brush.
Chris, do you have something to tell us? You see, I don't do lectures, so I don't care about this.
I don't have anything to bring out. I mean, I found myself on the same DS as some individuals that, if I had known they were going to be there, believe me, I would not have agreed to do particular events. But I think, yeah, I think James brings up a really good point that, you know, ufology and the paranormal now in general, you know, if you look at all the ghost hunter shows and the spinoffs and Bigfoot and crypto shows, this has now become an industry. And it's an industry that continually needs to come up with new titillating information, new, claims of events and that sort of thing. And you really get on a slippery slope, and you're heading downhill real fast if you're, as James pointed out, if you're concerned with perpetuating the mystery as opposed to, you know, coming up with some sort of solution, or at least a new way of addressing how to research these things properly. I think we've really lost sight of that. And James, it's a point well taken.
You know, I'm thinking also here of the case of William Moore. Now, William Moore was instrumental in the early research into Roswell. And then he confesses in this 1989 meeting at MUFON in Las Vegas that he was working for some government disinformation people. So do you think the whole story here is that Roswell, he was one of the people who helped perpetuate the Roswell myth?
You know, I think William Moore has a very interesting history and experience. I actually have been privileged to look at some of his papers that a lot of his research that he left to some ufologists. I don't think that he was part of the Roswell deception or even perpetuating that, as much as I think he had a sincere interest in finding the truth. But he found himself the same place a lot of ufologists find themselves, and that is cultivating the inside source and thinking that if they get close to this inside source, this alleged government insider, to their, you know, they're privileged in some way, and one, they can somehow they can win over their insider to tell them what the real truth is. So they're out there fishing for something, but at a high cost. In this case, it was actually willingly participating in a disinformation campaign. So the problem is that, you know, you try to sell your soul to the devil, is what I'll say, you're going to end up on the losing end every time. You'll be discredited. People won't listen to you. They won't look at your research for what it really is. And honestly, you know, I feel for William Moore, because I really believe that he was a person who really wanted to know what was happening out there, and just got too close. too close to an insider who used them. Maybe that would be a better way to say it.
At least he came out and admitted the fact. Of course, it destroyed his credibility in the UFO field, so it didn't serve anyone's purpose. Or did it?
I don't think it served, obviously
it didn't serve his purpose, that's for sure, even though a mea culpa is a lot better than being in permanent denial.
Right. I would agree with that. Or not even permanent denial, but just keeping it quiet. There are certain things that happen in the UFO field where people are doing things they shouldn't be doing, and they're keeping it quiet. And I mean, for example, this involvement with Bigelow and Bass and some of the things that went on around that. You know, those, there has to be a very much a large amount of transparency when you're going to be involved in something of this nature. You can't hide anything. So, for example, when Bigelow hid the source of his funding and would only reveal it to John Schussler on the MUFON board, that lack of transparency really rubs me the wrong way. That tells me there's something's being hidden for a certain purpose, and I don't want to be involved in that.
Right, and John Schussler is also, at the time, was on the National Institute for Discovery Sciences board as well. So a little bit of a conflict of interest, at the very least.
Exactly, but it goes back to, when you think you can cultivate the inside source and get somewhere, you really end up nowhere. I think the graveyard of ufology is littered with people who ended up wanting to learn the truth, but in the end, not knowing the truth.
Right. Well, one thing I'd like to get into is when we come back from our break, is your thoughts on the Sherman Ranch or the Skinwalker Ranch case. I really feel that this is an important case. It may be a litmus test for the kinds of deception that you're referring to in the Rosetta Deception, your book, and also, a modern day version, a potential version of that kind of deception. And when we come back, what do you think of that particular scenario up there? Is it, as the Utes claim, is it some sort of, ancient sort of force that's, at play there? Do you think that Bigelow is involved as a cutout organization protecting some sort of military psyops? Do you think that it's a combination of several things? We'd love to hear your thoughts on that when we come back.
The book is called The Rosetta Deception, and we're moving beyond that. And I kind of think we're helping him and James carry on work on book two. We'll have to ask him about that. Gene and Chris, you're in
The Paracast.
Free from the shackles of corporate America, we're the place for independent thinkers. GCN.
Attack of the Rockoids has been well received by critics and readers alike. It's a thrill-a-minute story you'll never forget. A former U.S. military intelligence officer is haunted by intense dreams about a beautiful woman pleading for his help after a terrible battle in outer space. But the dreams turn out to be true and thrust him into a telepathic love affair with a woman whose faraway planet is intent on destroying the Earth. And now the gripping tale continues in The Coming of the Protectors. It's the second book of the Rockoids trilogy, a galaxy-spanning adventure that pits our hapless heroes against powerful, fanatical enemies that threaten the lives of freedom-loving beings everywhere. Attack of the Rockoids and The Coming of the Protectors, classic science fiction at its best, available now. For more details, visit Rockoids.com. That's Rockoids.com.
A sudden change in the wind. The day grows dark as ominous clouds move in and lightning begins to carve arcs in the sky. And you realize you are not prepared.
I am telling you to take cover.
The number of intense storms is increasing exponentially in the U.S. Tornadoes, hurricanes, flooding, and droughts are happening with greater magnitude and frequency. If you are choosing to rely on the government to save you,
and no one's coming to help them,
you could be dead wrong. The first step towards
self-reliance in the face of disaster is a visit to MyPatriotSupply.com. There you'll find the absolute best prices on storable foods, non-GMO seeds, emergency water filtration devices, and so much more. All orders over $49 qualify for free shipping in the lower 48. Visit us online or call 866-229-0927. That's 866-229-0927. And speak to one of our preparedness advisors today. Remember, before it's time to survive, it's time to prepare. MyPatriotSupply.com.
At 30dayfoodsupply.com, you can now purchase a one-of-a-kind product not available anywhere else, a meatless burger dry mix in four delicious flavors. With our new Oregon Trail Foods vegan burgers, all you do is add water and fry. They need no refrigeration. They're packaged in Mylar bags with an oxygen absorber for a long shelf life. They're non-GMO. They're gluten, soy, nut, and chemical-free, but they're loaded with flavor and a good source of carbs and protein, yet low in sodium. Flavors include Italian, spicy Mexican, six vegetable, and black bean olive. Go to 30dayfoodsupply.com or call 541-229-0010 and order today. Eat them every day, take them camping, or save them for an emergency. Check them out at 30dayfoodsupply.com and click on the vegan burger icon. That's 30dayfoodsupply.com, where all of our products are produced in Oregon by Oregon Trail Foods. 30dayfoodsupply.com.
We live in a complicated society. Stressful issues are always popping up. Have you ever been treated unfairly by someone? Have you ever been overcharged for a repair? Have you ever signed a contract or a document worried about identity theft? How many times have you been in those unique situations where you just wanted to call an attorney to find out if you're right or wrong or what your legal rights are? But every time you think about calling an attorney, what do you think about first? That's right. Who do you call and how much will it cost? Our friends at Legal Shield have found a solution. With a nationwide network of 6,900 attorneys who average 19 years of experience, Legal Shield's law firms take over 40,000 calls per week helping their members. For less than $20 per month, you can have access to Legal Shield on everything from the trivial to the traumatic. Let Legal Shield stand up for your rights at lsprotection.com. That's lsprotection.com. Or call 855-340-SAVE. 855-340-7283.
Results will vary from case to case.
Hi, this is nuclear physicist lecturer Stanton Friedman. You are listening to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio.
James Carrion, before we ask you about a possibility of book two here, which seems to me inevitable, it has to come. You have to do it, man. What's your response to what Chris had to say?
You know, the Skinwalker Ranch to me is interesting for a couple reasons. To me, the mythology, I'll call it mythology because I don't think what's written in the book is accurate. This is based on personal investigation when I went there and was denied access to the ranch, and then finding out that the brother of the original owner of the ranch, before it was sold to Bigelow, was very adamant in saying that nothing paranormal or strange nature happened while his brother was owner of the ranch, because he knows this because he was on the ranch many times. So I think there was a mythology built around that. In the same way that a mythology gets built around a number of different cases that end up on the silver screen as a true story. So, you know, it kind of irks me when I go into a movie theater now and the opening scene of the movie, it says based on a true story. Because that tells me that somebody's going to embellish the tale and they're going to sensationalize it. And you know, sure enough, you know, you find out years later that the tale was embellished or something else was added to it to sell books or sell movies or whatever. And to me, that's what the Skinwalker Ranch really sounds to me, based on my personal investigation. When I went there and did investigation around the ranch and talking to a lot of folks that lived around the ranch, there was more alleged strange things going on 20, 30 miles away than there was happening on the ranch itself. So there's a mythology that was being built up. Why was it being built up? I think it had somewhat to do with, the mythology surrounding Area 51. Somebody wants to continue that mythology. The same way that the mythology is continued around Dulce, New Mexico, and underground bases, and a lot of the stuff that we hear about that really has no substantiation. Just because a billionaire owns a ranch, and a book is out there written by, folks allegedly were on the ranch, doesn't make it true.
Well, do you want to amplify your answer? So do you think it's all just smoke and mirrors and there's no truth to any possible high strange claims of high strange activity there?
I can answer that if they'll let me take my camper down there and let me stay on the ranch for a week.
Well, one thing I must mention, James, is I did go up to the ranch before the publicity bandwagon kind of set sail. And I really did feel that Terry was very upfront with me. I did not get any sense of subterfuge from him. He seemed legitimately concerned about the safety of his family. And so there was enough there for me to, you know, kind of get a sense that there was something very strange going on there. What it was, he didn't know, and, you know, to this day, I don't know. It's a very complicated scenario. But the Uinta Basin, as you pointed out, has a lot of activity going on around the ranch and in the region there, and there's documentation that goes back decades. What would be the motivation for some sort of military psyops program vis-a-vis using Bigelow and NIDS or Bass as a front cutout sort of organization? What would be the motivation to have the focus being placed on the ranch?
You know, I'm not sure. I know that there was some discussion of testing of non-lethal weapons there. That was a rumor. I'm not sure how true the rumor is. But you know, if there's a particular weapon that can, you know, stimulate a part of the brain that causes fear, it would be a good way to test it there. Because if you're causing fear, then somebody has something to be afraid of when they read the story. So I don't know. It's only speculation. I can't really say exactly what's happening, why it's happening, what the motivation is. I really have nothing to offer there. All I know is there's a lack of transparency. And this lack of transparency happened even back when in 2008 when I was involved with the Discovery Channel on doing the shows UFO Over Earth. One of the things I proposed was, let's take the crew and go to the ranch. Let's investigate that. And we were flatly denied by Bigelow. So come on, if you're really trying to be transparent about what's happening there and to actually support what's happening there, what's wrong with letting a TV crew on there to document it? And that was denied. When I went there and investigated personally, I was also denied. So the lack of transparency and the claim of personal safety and all this, I don't buy it. All I know is that somebody's obfuscating what's really going on, and I don't think it has to do with protecting people's lives. I think it has something else to do.
Well, do you think that it could possibly be sort of a red herring? Watch the right hand while the real stuff is going on, maybe in the region, but elsewhere?
Well, absolutely. I think one of the things that really struck me was talking to somebody who's been on the ranch a number of times, you know, that there was a discovery of these metal rods on the ranch. And then this gentleman was told by a NIDS scientist, Bigelow's organization, that they were element 114 rods, you know, which ties into the whole Area 51 story.
And 114 or 115? I've heard both.
Actually, I can't remember. Whatever was allegedly discovered by or seen by Bob Lazar at Area 51.
Yeah, that's 115. Junior Hicks was the one that I think was the one that kind of, you know, was involved with the discovery of that particular rod, which I heard was equated to a tractor part.
Well, but he was being told that it was element 115.
Right.
So somebody wanted him to believe that there was something highly strange about those rods. And where does that tie back into? It ties back into Area 51. It ties back into Bob Lazar. It ties back into the mythology.
Right.
So why does there have to be a tie into the mythology if there's real activity going on in the ranch?
A good point. In terms of accuracy, Hunt for the Skinwalker had one glaring inaccuracy in relation to that particular event where the dogs chased off after one of these blue softball-sized balls of light. And then, you know, subsequently the following morning, Terry went out there and found grease piles, as he put it. When I read it in the book, the date was off by 9 months. I was literally on the phone with Terry when that event occurred, when the dogs chased off. And he said, I have to get off the phone and try to get my dogs to come back. And the next morning, I found out that he discovered them. And his emotion was genuine in his voice. Those dogs were melted into piles of grease. in terms of my interpretation of his emotional, bearing when he told me this the following morning. But in the book, he had it happen, 9 months prior to that. So you can't judge a book by its cover, and you can't judge the contents of the book, in some sense of the word.
But I think we can judge lack of transparency.
That's true. Yeah. That's always a real important indicator.
James, we're just about out of time. Let me ask you very quickly here. If our listeners want to know more about the things you're doing, is there a site they can go to or a place they can write you?
Absolutely. I have a blog. It's called rosettadeception.blogspot.com. You can also go to my Follow the Magic Thread blog, and there's a link to it from there. And what I'm doing is I'm actually taking all of the footnotes that are in the book, and I'm posting all the associated documents that I've uncovered. So these are things out of books, out of the National Archives. I actually live in the Virginia area right now, so I can get to the archives fairly easily now. And my research isn't over. There's a lot more research to be done. And as you alluded to earlier, there will be a second book coming out. Tentatively will be titled The Roswell Deception.
Oh, all right.
Dum-dee-dum-dum.
We're going to want to have you back for that one. That's going to be certainly fascinating.
Oh, yeah.
Taking it to the next logical step. We can take Chris O'Brien to his next logical step because he has a site called OurStrangePlanet.com. OurStrangePlanet.com. And as we've mentioned before, his latest book is Stalking the Herd. If you want a copy, yes, you can go to Amazon. But if you go to Chris's site to buy the book, he keeps all the money. You know, Amazon, Jeff Bezos is a cheapskate. That's why he's so rich. You know. Of course, I'll never get a book on Amazon after saying that. But seriously speaking, he will sign the book and he'll number the book, OurStrangePlanet.com. You can check us out on Twitter, where we are known as The Paracast. We are The Paracast on Twitter. We're on Facebook as The Paracast Fan Club. There are two of them, and nobody knows how to make them into one fan club without killing some of the information. If there's an expert out there, let us know about it. Or check our site, theparacast.com, where you can download every single episode of The Paracast, either in one session or many sessions. James Carrion, thanks for joining us on the Paracast.
Thank you, James. Thank you, Chris.
The Paracast, featuring Gene Steinberg and Christopher O'Brien, is a copyrighted presentation of Making the Impossible, Incorporated. Tune in next week for a new adventure in The Paracast.
UnseenNow.com, proud sponsor of GCN. Unseen Now's unparalleled encryption tools keep your communications secure. GCN.
Hi, this is Ted Anderson. If you'd like to listen to GCN programs on the go, I have great news. GCN has created a Droid and iPhone application, and it's free. Just as easy as going to GCNlive.com, click on the banner, and download. Before you know it, you'll be listening to your favorite hard-hitting GCN shows, live or on demand, right on your Droid or iPhone, 24/7 and on the go. So download the Droid and iPhone app free by clicking on the banner at GCNlive.com. Thanks again for listening to GCNlive.com. Again, that's GCNlive.com.
Hi, this is Ted Anderson. Have you ever wondered why banks, stockbrokers, investment advisors won't talk about gold IRAs? They've been available since 1986, yet the financial industry won't recognize the value of gold for your retirement. Gold has outperformed paper investments, yet no word about IRAs. If you would like to have gold for your retirement, call 800-686-2237. Don't get left behind by rising inflation and low returns. Call 800-686-2237. Secure your future and call 1-800-686-2237.
For over 5 years, you've been hearing about the Berkey guy, so you may know a few things about him. For example, you are well aware of the superior quality and effectiveness of Berkey water filters and accessories. But did you know the Berkeys have had independent lab tests done to prove just how effective they are? It's true, and he can email you the test results. Just visit GoBerkey.com. You may also know that the Berkey guy has helped tens of thousands of people get better prepared. Now here's something you may not know. GoBerkey.com has amazing specials and deals all the time on a wide variety of survival and preparedness products. Most ready to ship same day. Visit the Berkey Guy at GoBerkey.com and be sure to click the red Products on Sale Now button. You can always call toll-free 877-886-3653. Again, that's 877-886-3653. GoBerkey.com, home of the Berkey Guy.